What is up, everybody? It is the Final X Legends podcast, bringing you another installment of the Billion Dollars Writer Club. Right now, I have a beautiful and intelligent Miss Nadira Green, who is here to discuss her latest works with us. I don't know much about her right now. Everything about this conversation is going to be fresh news for myself and for the audience. So, Miss Nadira, would you be kind enough to introduce yourself and tell us about who you are and, you know, what is it that you do? Do you write? Do you illustrate? Do you sing? What is it that you provide to the world and the writing community?
Hello, everyone. It is such a pleasure to be here. As was mentioned, my name is Nadira Green. I hail from a beautiful, beautiful, exotic Trinidad and Tobago. Mm. However, I live on the island of Tobago, and I'm really, really pleased to be here. Thank you so very much. Of course, I'm an author. I'm also a mom, a working mom, and I write in my spare time. So it's a bit challenging sometimes, but I really love writing. Writing is my passion. And I have four children's books. The last children's book that was published is entitled Colorblind. Previous to that, the other titles that I have is titled Please Don't Pee the Bed. Another one is Don't Feed the Animals and Fishing in a Drain. So those are the four books that I have published right now. And of course, I'm writing every now and then when the time allows me.
Understandable. So I see that you dedicate more of your time towards the children's books, which is beautiful because I myself have four children, two boys, two girls, and they're getting older. They're definitely getting older, but they're still young enough. But at least my baby girl's still young enough to enjoy a good children's book. You know, the rest are growing up. I mean, they all have cell phones now and are growing up. So I definitely like that you are focusing on enriching the youth. And like you got a book, Please Don't Pee the Bed. You know, there's a, I won't throw any names and I won't say which brother it is, but I have brothers and one of them used to pee in the bed till he, you know, little bit older. And it was, you know, so it's nice that you are touching base on things that we do have to teach children. What type of, you know, inspiration? I mean, I know you're a mother. And you have children, and I know you have teachings that you want to give them, but what else pulled your inspiration? Like, if you are focused on children's books, then there must be a form of art and illustration that you also show, correct?
Correct. Well, I have one son, one child, thank God for that. But I grew up in a really big family. I don't know if you're familiar with these big families. You have, like, a lot of cousins, a lot of nieces, a lot of nephews, and sometimes when we do sleepovers or, you know, just Caribbean living, your family come to check you and you're chilling. So I've always grown up with a lot of children, and even as an adult, I have a lot of nieces and nephews and stuff like that. And sometimes when you do sleepover, you wake up and somebody pee the bed.
Yep.
So, you know, that book was actually dedicated to my niece and my nephews. They're adorable, but every parent can relate to children who pee the bed.
Oh, yeah.
and then, for example, my book title, Don't Feed the Animals, that one was inspired by work that I do as a volunteer in the Wildlife Association of Tobago, where we treat animals and rehabilitate them and release them into the wild. Some animals can be released into the wild. So we do tours, educating and teaching people how to handle them and you know, just all the information we're dealing with animals. And one of the main things we had to deal with is people wanting to feed the animals. And I thought that it was a good idea because of my work in Wildlife Association to write a book titled Don't Feed the Animals. So, you know, Fishing in a Drain is, again, based on my childhood. I know it may seem weird to some people in the audience, but growing up in the Caribbean, it's not strange to see children fishing in a drain. And while the book trails away from that a little bit. It really was inspired and centered on that experience of jumping down into a drain and you're trying to catch fishes. Most of the time you're catching tadpoles, of course. Mm-hmm. But my writing comes from my experience, from seeing children interact with each other, from different facets of life. And that's where my writing really stems from.
Beautiful.
So, you know, it's just part of the journey.
Okay. I definitely love it. And it was nice to hear about your work in the wildlife and just knowing that you contribute to nature as well as the human spirit by, you know, writing and crafting something for our youth is beautiful. And then you're also affiliated with taking care of nature, which I think is a testament to you as a woman. Like women are just naturally, you know, y'all stem from Mother Nature itself. Like it's only natural that you would be a being that caters towards our children and nature. That's very, very admirable of you. So that's a very big deal that, you know, really tickled my insides to hear that about you. So what I also would like to know is what structure do you follow with writing? Like when, with your children's books, are they like, what age group would you say they're for? Are they for, you know, parents who are reading to, you know, I know you said, you know, the nieces and nephews with the please don't pee in a bed. That's probably something catered towards, you know, toddlers, you know, ages 4 to 6 or 7 and 8 and whatnot. Do you hit all age groups? Like you have books that are for newborns and whatnot, or, you know, what's your age group? That's what I want to essentially ask.
That's a really interesting question because I'm a relatively new author. It's something I've been learning. I think, my books cater to a wide range of readers in terms of age range, mm-hmm. but it comes down to parents and parents who like reading for kids, because a child may not necessarily be peeing the bed, but they can still enjoy the book. If they've passed that stage, you can pick it up and read it and just enjoy the good old fashioned habit of reading and understanding and you know, having your fun with it. My illustrators, I have worked, let me take this opportunity to mention the illustrators that I've worked with.
Oh, go ahead.
One of them is Anita Charles. She has worked with me on a couple of my books. And I just want to say thank you to her. And she has done some wonderful work in terms of the illustration. And the other illustrator that I've worked with is Rhonda Seabright, and she is such a beautiful soul. And I really enjoy working with Rhonda, and she too has done some fantastic work with bringing my words to life and really bringing the whole book together. And I want to say thank you to both of them, which brings me back to what I was explaining in terms of the range of children who I write for. You may not, if you don't enjoy, or if you're past the reading stage of the subject that I'm speaking about, you may lean towards the vibrancy of the illustration or what the illustration is depicting and gain some experience of enjoyment where that is concerned. So my books cater to different children. I read my books to my son, and he is 2 years old, and you know, sometimes he doesn't fully understand, but he's going to keep saying to me bed, pee bed,
mm-hmm.
or colorblind is catered for really younger kids who are now learning about colors and stuff like that, and so parents may lean towards that for really young kids, age 1, 2, 3, and so forth, but it comes down to the parents' choice and just. Surrounding their kids with books and that whole experience of reading and whether it's ebooks or you have a physical copy of a book in your hand. But for answer's sake, let me just say we can start my book skater from like about 1 to maybe 8, but it really comes down
to the parents. Yeah, absolutely.
Of what they want to expose their children to.
Okay. All right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Though? Absolutely. Like, I mean, your book is for a wide range of audiences. It's something, it's wholesome. It's for, you know, mom and son. It's for dad and daughter. It's for the whole family. It's for everybody. And I like all that. Right. I definitely want to see where you move forward going on throughout the year and whatnot. See if you end up targeting, you know, stories strictly for newborns or stories for, you know, my oldest is 11. Going on 12 soon, and you know, it's, you know, he's reading different things, and I want to see, what other, you know, writers like you are, if you're able to stem into a older kid preteen genre, you know.
Yeah,
like I all I'm saying is that because the purpose of this podcast is also to get to know you and get people to understand you, but to also be able to provide insight for you. Cause when you leave this, I want you to feel like, wow, that wasn't just me talking about myself. I came in there and I walked away with something. I'm about to go try this and try that. Like, you should walk away from this with something. So, and also what I would like to do is to have you provide something to our listeners and our fans. Something I haven't done yet, but I need to. Actually, I think I did on my previous, but back at the point of hand, what obstacles have you faced that you feel like most writers do come in contact with? And then how did you overcome that specific obstacle?
That's such an interesting question.
Yeah, I threw a whole curveball at you.
Because I'm a self-published author, I think the biggest problem I face is marketing. Because, you know, I want to focus my time on writing, but there's a business side of book publishing and stuff like that. And one of the major part of it is marketing. And that, I think, has been one of my problems or issues, reaching the wide the audience and capturing their attention. Some people, you know, you pick up a book based on different things, or maybe you have no clue about the book because I'm a self-published author and pretty lost in the world of books and authors. But I have set up in terms of mitigating that problem, I've set up some social media pages.
Mm-hmm.
One is on Facebook at Nadira Green. The other one is on Instagram at Nadira Green, and that is NadiraGreen. And I've been trying to reach out to my audience and interact with persons there. It's a work in progress, of course, but it's something that I've done to mitigate. And, you know, I've been doing different interviews with amazing people like you. Thank you so very much again for having me.
It was an honor.
And and those are some of the things that I've been doing to increase the marketing aspect, which is, to me, the biggest issue that I've had.
Beautiful. We're going to take a real quick break, everyone, and then we're going to get right back into this as we dive deeper into the mind of the writers and word weaving. What's up, everybody? We are back with Nadira Green. We are now going to dive deep into more of a business mindset. She spoke about marketing being one of her biggest issues when it came to being a self-published author, which is something that a lot of us face in the growth of being an author, whether you're reaching out to a established publishing house or you are simply self-publishing. And one of the reasons I believe a lot of writers, and I'm gonna go further and say creators, meaning artists, illustrators, painters. I won't necessarily say musicians, because musicians, rap artists, singers, you know, overall musicians, anybody who plays a musical instrument, they're normally good at monetizing their talents. But for some odd reason, writers and artists, painters, sculptors, they tend to get taken advantage of. And that's because all of us want to live in this beautiful, vivid world. That's why we write and illustrate. But one of the biggest issues with that is, you got to understand, once you write and create your book, that is a product. That is a product you have to sell, and that is a business. And you have to get in a business mindset to make that product sell. Like a lot of writers, they're like, "Ooh, I wrote this book. Now everyone's going to read it, and it's going to be a New York Times bestseller. And oh my God, they're going to love it." It doesn't work like that. I mean, this writing a book is equivalent in a sense to like making a cheeseburger. You know, just because you make a cheeseburger doesn't mean everybody's going to come out here and you know, eat it. You know, you still have to market what it is that you are producing. So. Yeah. That's why I feel like a lot of writers run into that problem. Now, a lot of people are like you and they figure out solutions and are using social media, but there are still a lot of other avenues that one could take. You know, there you can go to your local libraries. I have personally, when I was in Dallas, Texas, went to one of the libraries there to begin promoting some of my artwork for a graphic novel series I was working on. And it was wonderful. I mean, they were completely booked for like 3 months. But after, you know, 3 months, like it was nice to see my flyers and, you know, a copy of my book, you know, there in a case and knowing that people can see this. And it just feels a lot more real and tangible. And you got to get familiar, you know, whatever city you're in, you know, go around to the local libraries, go around to the game stores and stuff like that, and see if you can leave some flyers and some cards, like some good images and stuff, you know. And I say game stores because you're going to have more people there with the creative mindsets who would take the time to read a book, you know. Or, you know, there's a lot of kids that go to these places and whatnot, you know. Hit up, you know, the stores in the malls and your local, you know, corner stores and stuff like that. You know, people who are familiar with seeing you, you know, you the thing about your book is you have to get people familiar with you and your craft. It's not just about the product. You have to get them familiar. And that's why we're on this podcast. And that's why we're going to have you come on here in another month and hear. And so your fans can hear you again and they can hear, you know, if you're going through something and it's affecting your writing, or if your life is phenomenal and you're about to drop another book, they need to be familiar with you and your voice and your talents. And that is a strong part of business and writing. And the conflict that happens is a lot of writers, for some godforsaken reason, are stuck in this weird mode of needing to hoard their story until it's like ready for the world and whatnot, and they have this like literally every single person I've interviewed, with the exception of you so far, because you write children's books, so there's not too much to spoil. But every writer does this, and I know you've heard this. They'd be like, they'll talk about their story, and then they'll be like, "Well, I don't want to tell you. I don't want to spoil you too much," but they're not saying anything that gets you hyped up about the story. Like, it's like, it's cool. You're the writer. You know what's cool about the book and your story. Tell me what's cool about it. Yes, spoil me. I want to get spoiled. I want to get hyped up about this story, you know? That's something that a lot of writers need to understand. Whenever you sit there and stop and say, "Hey, I don't want to spoil the story," you completely lose who you're talking to at that moment, because they're like, "Well, shit, I wanted to know the good part," you know? So that's something that I want, you know, you to also know moving forward, is to just be... to get people hooked into you and your story, which you've done a phenomenal job at. Like, I have every intention on messaging the mothers of my kids and letting them know that, hey, I found a good book for our youngest. So, yes. Because I
really fundamental things.
What's that?
Go ahead, sorry. I was saying that you said some really fundamental things a while ago in terms of the marketing, reaching out to the libraries and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and getting familiar. Persons can even, you know, reach out to diners and have placemats with their imagery on it. There's a lot of different things you can do. You just have to target it to your genre and what you're doing and what brand or what image or slogan you want to go along with your work.
Absolutely. You know, like if I wrote a book that was, you know, something that was an urban fantasy or what people like to call a hood book, you know, something that's more targeted to, you know, people who have lived in the ghetto or from the hood or whatnot, I would target areas that a lot of people go to. You know, I would target, you know, I'm gonna keep it real. I would definitely target, you know, a lot of the little corner stores. I would definitely target a lot of the little mom and pop shop eateries and stuff, you know, with the ribs and the chicken and the collard greens and the macaroni and everything. Like, you know, like I'm gonna hit up them places because I know that's where the hood people go. I know that, you know, if I write an anime, a story that tethered, that's strongly situated in the shonen protagonist, you know, area. If I wrote something that's a manga or a mangaka, you know, I'm gonna go hit up GameStops. I'm gonna go to card game shops. I'm gonna go to all those nerdy spots that, you know, are you know, completely barren of women. That they're just, it's just nothing but a bunch of nerdy guys there. Those are the areas that I would hit when it comes to the mangas and whatnot. So, and for anybody who's listening, who's like, oh, you know, there are nerdy girls out there. Look, I'm a nerd. I play Yu-Gi-Oh. I play Pokemon. I do it all. And I'm going to tell you straight up, there ain't a single card game tournament I've been to where there's been some beautiful bad chicks out there. You sorry. There's more musty guys out there than there is beautiful women. But back on the topic at hand, which is, you know, having your target group. A lot of people, and I like that you said that. You said you have to target, because you cannot just be like, oh, I'm on social media and I got an Instagram and I got a Twitter, so I'm just going to start following and liking everything. You got to hit groups that cater to you. If you write horror, then you need to go jump in creepypasta. You need to go jump in SCP servers and chats and Discord. Discord is great. Right. You know, if you write erotic fictions and stuff like that, you need to go hop in them chats with all them horny people who, you know, looking at porn and you know, get on all them little thirst trap chats and stuff like that, you know, and start posting your work in there. That's what you got to do. You know, if you write stories about elven magic and you know orcs and ancient archaic demons, then you need to hop in chats with people who cater to Lord of the Rings and, you know, Game of Thrones and stuff like that. Like, that's what you got to do. A lot of people they end up draining themselves too quickly because they spread themselves out to a wide area instead of targeting one specific niche and growing deeply inside of that. And, you know, I appreciate you bringing up targeted marketing. So that's something that we could, you know, elaborate in this podcast. I do want to go ahead and ask you at this time, if there was any bit of advice that you wish you could, if there's any advice that you could give yourself to the old you, the one that was sitting there about to, you know, create these stories, and when she let the idea permeate her brain, if you could have given her any advice, what advice would that have been? And what advice would that be to the listeners? Like, if you could give that advice to yourself and the listeners, what advice would you bring to them?
There's so many things I would say to myself regarding my writing journey. But I think more than anything else, above everything else, I would probably say, be real, sis.
Be real first.
And what I mean by that is that you jump in. It took me a while I've always been writing, but it took me a while to publish. And when I did publish, I went in with so many ideas and delusions of how easy it's going to be, because I'm thinking, okay, you have a great book, so that's fantastic, and it's going to work, and everything is going to work out in the blink of an eye. I needed to put myself down and say, be real, sis, do some more research, understand the market, because not because you have an excellent product mean it's going to be smooth sailing. There's going to be bumps and humps, and you're going to meet really awesome persons like yourself. But they're also going to be people who are disingenuous and going to take you for a ride. And it's going to dishearten you and make you feel sad and may push you back further than the distance you have covered. You just need to be real about this. Follow your dream, but be real, one foot firmly on the ground while you're pursuing, because it's not as clear-cut easy as you may perceive when you're giddy with ambition and you think it's going to be fantastic. And hey, in 2 months, this is all going to be good and you're going to be a bestseller and everything is going to be A-okay. That is not going to happen.
It does not.
You need to put in the work, step by step, keep moving, keep believing, but put in the work and enjoy the journey.
Yes.
You need to enjoy the journey, even the bad stuff.
Yep.
You need to enjoy it and just take everything one step at a time and keep pushing forward as realistically as possible.
Yep.
That's what I'm going to say to myself.
And I love that. That's a very realism first. I love that because as writers, majority of us as writers, we write fiction. You know, there are a lot of writers out there who produce various forms of nonfiction writing. But regardless, you have to take your mind and put it in a state of fiction in order to be able to craft these words and orchestrate them in a way that will paint a picture in someone else's brain. So it's very beautiful that you state lead with realism. Like, just because you want to dive into the fiction and the fantasy and the fallacies of writing doesn't mean just go willy-nilly into every aspect of it, you know. And you're right, because if you go into it without that sense of realism, you will get discouraged and you will more than likely quit. And unless you have a circle of a good trust net around you, you're probably going to be like what most people do, and they just quit and never pick up their book again and just, you know, move on with it. You know, but one thing, you know, that I will say about, you know, being discouraged and quitting is you don't ever want to be that person in 15, 20 years that people ask, you know, whatever happened to that book you was writing, man? It seemed like it was really good, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah, I gave up on that. And it's why? I'd rather at that point be like, oh, yeah, I published it. You can go pick up a copy on Amazon at any time, you know.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, lead with the realism of how many, you know, authors, writers, published works didn't get, you know, famous until after the writer was long dead. It's a very true factor, you know. So it's beautiful. I really like the whole lead off of realism, because I would have loved to have told 12-year-old me that too, you know. But then again, 12-year-old me was very enthusiastic and very creative, so he wouldn't have listened, no way. So,
no, the energy is good. You know, the energy is important. But you need to create some balance. And get, that's where the realism, as you're saying, comes in, to create some balance with the energy and regardless of what, just keep moving forward.
Yep, you have to. And moving forward doesn't always necessarily mean forcing yourself to write, because you can't, if that's something I've known, you cannot force good writing. Good writing comes naturally and it flows, but that doesn't mean you can't set in motion the tools needed to make that flow. And what I mean by that is, you know, If you're you could be somebody who's very keen to the sense of smell, and having candles of cherry and lavender takes your memory back to a happy place that now allows you to be able to craft. You know, you may be somebody who is very keen to sounds and music, and, you know, putting on some good old orchestra or some Mozart or Fort Minor or Linkin Park or Jay-Z or Lil Wayne or whatever might be what it needs to get you flowing. You know, like, you know, pushing yourself to go every day doesn't necessarily mean even writing the words. You know, you can go 2-3 days without writing, and on the fourth or fifth day, you put together 30 to 80,000 words. But in those initial first 3 days, you were establishing yourself to be able to get to the point of, I can sit down and write and flow and be good. You know, I got my marijuana. I got my Hennessy, I got my drink, I got my wine, I got my flow, I'm about to go, you know. So yeah, whatever it is that, you know, gets you going, it could be anything. You got to push with that. So long as these things aren't things that harm other people, of course. I'm not saying if going and cutting off the legs of chickens or what gets you off, you know, go do that. Nah, don't do none of that, you know. Just do, you know, find your happy place and sanctity and keep it in that. So is,
yeah, my happy place is actually listening to soca. We have so many fantastic, I don't know if you're familiar with soca music, but
no,
we have some really fantastic soca artists, Marshallment, Panos, Coindua, you know, put on some soca music. I grab up my son and we're dancing and making noise. And because you may not be writing, but that experience is getting you happy and loose up, and you may not write, but you may market, or you may not market, you may edit. You know, you may do different things that contribute to the whole writing experience.
Exactly.
So it's all good. Yeah?
Exactly. I love that, because there, you know, think about this. Most of the, like 99% of the time, when you think of something creative for your book, it's not while you're writing. It's while you're doing something completely else, you know?
Exactly.
So, but as you write, of course, the book is going to naturally change as you write. But that's because you already, you know, created the idea in your head when you was dancing, or when you were fishing, or when you were in the shower, or when you were on the toilet, or whatever, you know? So, yeah, that's... I love this conversation. I'm loving everything about you and your works. And like, I'm definitely interested in picking up a few copies of your books and sharing them with my children. I want everybody else, you know, that are parents to, you know, look into your books. Now, parents should definitely look into, you know, seeing what their children are reading and writing and seeing what's influencing them and, you know, promoting other good parents that are putting out good work and good lessons to be taught. You know, the stories have to be passed down and told, and it's good that you're doing that. Like I said, especially with the youth. Yeah. So what I did want to say, thought literally just slipped my mind.
You're thinking of that, if I jump in, for
go
persons
ahead.
Like you who might be interested, who is not close to Trinidad and Tobago, you can access my books via Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You can type in my name, Adira Green, Adiragren, or you can type in the title of the book, but it might be better to just type in my name. And so that's one fantastic way that you can access my books via Amazon.com or Amazon UK. It's on the marketplace, so it's on different Amazon platforms. And I have to say, this has been such a pleasure chatting with you.
It's... Yes, you took the words right out of my mouth. That's why I couldn't even say nothing. But yes, and I love that you jumped in, because literally what I was actually thinking about was saying that after this conversation, I would love for you to send me all your links so I can put them in the description of this podcast, so people can just, when they hear this, they can just boom, 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 click and go right to your websites, your books, pick them up, check them out, you know, pre-order, gift a couple copies, you know, whatever that is. So please make sure to send your links to me, because for everyone that is listening, I will be leaving her links in the description of this video. So please make sure to check that out and give her a like and a follow. If you are a parent or a wonderful aunt or uncle that just wants to, you know, take care of their nieces and nephews, or maybe you grandma or you pawpaw and you just want to, you know, be there and take care of them grandkids and grandchildren. So with that being said, everyone,
yes,
that is going to wrap up this wonderful interview with our wonderful, wonderful and intelligent author, Nadira Green. Everyone, that is Nadira Green. All right. So it was wonderful to have you on the show. Is there anything else you want to say to our audience before we close out?
Have a fantastic, wonderful day. Keep reading, whether it's my book or not. Keep reading. We have a lot of fantastic authors out there. And you have a fantastic, fantastic day. It's a pleasure.
Amen. You guys take care. Thank you for joining us in on the Final X Legends podcast. This is the Billion Dollar Writer Club, bringing you every bit of amazing creative works that will inspire and build our writers' community. You guys have a wonderful day. I love you all. Take care.